the country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Not so easy to acquire. Only you could ever measure up to my desire. Baby, you gave up on me just a little bit too soon. Left me here for lonely, howling at the moon.
My great pleasure to welcome country artist John Barry to the show. Wow, it's going to be an awesome time talking with him and sharing some of his past hits and some brand new music. We actually have some stuff to debut on the show you are going to love. John was signed by Capitol Records in 1992, and he went on to have a long list of hits, including Your Love Amazes Me, She's Taken a Shine, Standing on the Edge of Goodbye, You and Only You, and that's to name just a few. We'll get into some of those songs and the stories behind them. And my pleasure now to welcome John Barry. Hey, John.
How are you doing?
I am doing terrific. This is great. I was a fan of yours. I still am a fan of yours, but I became one back when all these songs started to come out with Your Love Amazes Me and a couple before that that hit country radio. And you've just got one of those voices that it's just an incredible voice. It's a beautiful voice.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. I feel fortunate that I get to record songs that I love to sing. And some of those that you mentioned, boy, I sure love singing those every time I go out to play.
Your songs, the ballads, John, are ones I know that couples have, you know, the songs have become their love songs, their wedding songs, from Your Love Amazes Me to many of your others. What is that like when you've heard those stories from fans that the songs have become that meaningful to them?
It's pretty incredible. I mean, you know, to think that, you know, when people tell me that they've dated to my songs, and that those, you know, that when they got engaged, that one of my songs was, you know, the guy puts the song on in the background and plays the song, and that's their song, and he proposes while that song's playing. I mean, it's just pretty cool to, mm-hmm. because that's a pretty intimate moment, and for them to select one of my songs to help make that even more so. That's really pretty incredible.
When we head back in time to 1992 and you were signed by Capitol Records, you know, at the start of that album, were you listening to a ton of songs to find the ones that fit your sound and that you thought these are going to be John Barry songs?
Well, I was still trying to figure out what I was doing. Even though I've been making records on my own for a long time, you know, it was a kind of a brand new world, and we just happened to find a you know, Chuck Jones had a number of songs on that record, maybe five, that he had written. Chuck's a wonderful song. He wrote Your Love Amazes Me and You and Only You, and just a great writer. And matter of fact, I joke often that we should have formed a duo and called it Chuck Berry. But I don't know if country music was really ready for that. But Chuck, you know, just really, his songs just fit my voice, you know, and it worked out really well for that first record and the second record. We had some Chuck songs on the second record as well. So we just sort of have tried to extend that and also grow along with that sound as we've moved on, you know.
When Your Love Amazes Me was released, John, and, you know, it started to get attention and started to climb the charts, what was that time like for you, knowing that, you know, the work that you had done prior to that and the albums and learning guitar so early in life, what was that moment like when it was starting to materialize now?
You know, it's the sad truth is I have no idea. I got sick. I didn't know I was sick. I had some pretty serious health issues. I just thought I had a headache. And because Your Love Amazing Me came out late winter, or, you know, kind of, I guess, yeah, late winter of 94. Mm-hmm. And it, starting in February of 94, I started having, well, actually, Christmas of 93, these little headaches started. And by February of 94, the headaches were pretty intense, and I was changing personality-wise. And I was doing a lot of Advil, about as much Advil as one human can consume in a day, and trying to get rid of this headache that would not go away. And matter of fact, I had brain surgery. That what I had, it ends up there was a keloid cyst in the third ventricle of my brain, about the size of the end of your pinky, you know, not very large, but when you put it in the middle of your, you know, but the, where it was, it had blocked the fluid draining down the spinal column, which caused a backup of fluid around the brain and caused a severe lack of appetite and severe personality change and, of course, headaches. So I just kind of turned into somebody else for a while there, and I put my wife, Robin, through some very difficult times. The last trimester of a pregnancy with our son, Sean, and it was tough. But the great thing about it, of course, the day that song was number one song, May 10th of 1994, I had brain surgery that morning. Came out of the surgery, I woke up, and I was me again. The good news is that my wife, Robin, stuck with me through all of that. And she decided that her love for me was not a feeling. It was a decision she had made. And she stuck by that decision. And I'm glad she did.
that's incredible what you went through and just amazing. I guess you appreciate things a lot more having gone through that and survived.
Oh, sure you do. You know, you wake up every day and go, wow, you know, the alternatives could have been a lot worse, you know.
Yeah.
So very fortunate. But, you know, back to the original question what was going on that whole time, that's probably some of my biggest regret. Of course, there's nothing I could do about it. When I had when Your Love Amazes Me was the number one song, I had brain surgery, and when She's Taking a Shine was the number one song, I had vocal cord surgery. So two times that I had these big hit songs, I couldn't go out there and help perpetuate the thing that goes on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When a song is successful, you want to get out there and you want to drive the train on it. And,
sure.
And I didn't have the opportunity to do that, and just one of those things. It's just the way the big wheel spun. So.
Well, I'm glad that those stories ended on a good note, and you've got those great songs for us still to listen to, and of course, the new album that I mentioned, we're going to play some songs from it. Your performances, I know, John, when you perform, we mentioned the songs have touched so many lives. When you're performing and looking out in the audience, what are those moments like for you being on stage?
First off, I'm amazed that people show up, you know, all these years later for me to come and sing these songs for them, and it
right.
thrills me. And then, of course, I hope that they will enjoy the new music that I've been working on and that I have to share with them. And, of course, we try to make use of those moments to share that new music with them as well. But it's pretty amazing when, you know, you think of all the entertainment choices people have. Of course, these days, so many folks, you don't have to leave the house for great entertainment. But the fact that folks will leave the house and buy tickets, and the amount of money it takes to go to dinner and all those things that kind of all ties together when putting it, you know, when you take your wife out to a show or whatever you might happen to do, it's amazing that there they are coming out to see me, and I'm grateful, very.
Back in the day in the 90s when the hits were out, John, and you were touring extensively and making friends in the country music world, are there artists from back then you have some great memories of, ones you opened for or they opened for you?
Well, I was on the road with Reba for a long time. I was the opening act on the show, and what a great time that was. And she was just as genuine a person as you might think she is. She's wonderful. Mm. And her whole organization is just top-notch, from her to her band, her crew, bus drivers, everybody, just as first rate as they come. And that was a great tour to be a part of. And I haven't seen her really much in years. And I was having lunch at a place with some friends, just not far from where we live outside of Nashville. And the friend of mine I was having lunch with, he said, that lady over there on the other side of the restaurant is trying to get your attention. And I kind of look over there, and it's Reba. And she waves, she hops up and comes over to my table to say hello. And it was just over the top. She's just so sweet and just a very genuine person. And so that was it was a great tour, especially as a young artist. It was a great tour to be a part of. So you can see that how you treat people matters. Because I've been on other tours with big opening act, with big headliners who were not so nice. And I remember them, too.
Yeah.
And I remember that I would never treat anybody like that opens for me. And I hope anyone who has ever opened for me that they've been treated well and that my crew's taken good care of them, and because that kind of stuff's important. And that's just one of those things I learned from being on that show with Reba McEntire. She was just a great example of how to run a professional ship.
And shows in Ontario and Canada, but Ontario specifically, where we're broadcasting out of, I know that you've been up here and performed some shows.
Oh, wow, yeah, and great shows. We've had great audiences. I think that at one point I did a tour across the country, across Canada, with I did it a couple of times, but my first one was with Michelle Wright. And
nice.
We did 43 stops. And some of those stops were in small towns, and the biggest building they had was an ice skating hockey rink. and they would cover the ice with plywood.
Right.
And we'd do the shows in there. And it was awesome. Michelle was awesome. We had such I know she's a national treasure for you folks, and rightly
she
so.
She sure is.
And yeah, and we just had a great time doing those shows together with her, and that afforded me another year later, or 2 years later, I came back, and Martina McBride and I did about 25 or 30 shows, a lot of those same markets, and let me see. Then we came back and did a tour across, and on the Martina show. Oh, his name just went right out of my head. He's one of your native sons there from the Roadhammers.
Jason McCoy.
Jason McCoy was on the show. What
awesome.
A great guy. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Jason was awesome. And a talented guy. Great guitar player.
Yeah.
And then we did a show, came across and did about the same number of cities with Dina Carter.
And her
band and our band were good friends, and that was a lot of fun. And One Horse Blue opened the show for us, the local group in Canada, and just a great bunch of folks there. Great band and just good people, and that was a lot of fun. So my touring days in Canada, which I certainly hope aren't over, I hope somebody will call and invite me back.
That'd be awesome.
I have great great fond memories of touring in Canada with great artists and having great audiences that were just so in tune with coming and sitting in these either a theater or in a hockey rink that's covered with plywood and really being attentive to the music that they enjoyed. And whether it was me or Martina or Reba or whoever it was just great to see an audience that just loved the music so much. And it was very cool to see.
Let's turn to some music now. We got several songs to feature, some past hits and some new stuff coming up a bit later in the show. John, let's play She's Taken a Shine Now from the Faces CD. In fact, I was driving around in my car today listening to that that again with I Give My Heart and Faithfully and some other great songs, including the one we're about to play, She's Taken a Shine, written by Greg Barnhill and Richard Bach. What can you tell me about first hearing this song, John, and deciding this is one you had to record?
Well, you know, when I was cutting that record, my kids were real young, and songs, I was just really cautious about the songs I recorded, because I knew my kids were going to learn every word, probably quicker than I did.
Interesting.
and so what's what I call the minivan test. If I couldn't play it in the minivan, because I knew my kids were going to learn it, and everybody listening, your kids are going to learn it too. They may not think so, but they do. And what goes in is what comes out. So I was just real cautious about the kind of music that I would record, and I still am. And when I heard that song, it was just such, just a great message. Not just a great message, but it's just a great feel of a song. And then just to back that feel up with a great message as well, it was just a perfect up-tempo song for me to do. And we opened the show with that song for years. We still do it in the set. We open with it sometimes, but it's been a show opener for a long time.
It's a great song. Let's hear it now from my guest, John Barry. This is She's Taken a Shine on In the Country.
Sparkle in her eye. They all missed a gem, a diamond.
And that is John Barry. She's Taken a Shine from his Faces CD. You can find that song at iTunes, of course. A great, great song featured in his concerts. And, of course, you've got the great up-tempo songs like that and these great ballads. And, in fact, you've got a CD called I Give My Heart. And talk about a great album of love songs. Now, these are some of your own love songs, John, but some classic songs as well, including If, Time in a Bottle, Love, Look What You've Done to Me. I mean, those are some of my favorite love songs from back in the day. Tell me about putting together that album.
Well, I just really have, I've always been a huge fan of the Willie Nelson Stardust record. And if some of your listeners are not familiar with that record, check it out. It's a wonderful collection of songs, mostly old standards from the 40s and 50s and just, you know, like All of Me and Moonlight in Vermont, and it's just great songs. And I always wanted to do something in that same kind of vein, but I wanted to do songs that were popular when I was growing up. And so I selected these songs that I had listened to all my life, you know, and tried to put my own little thing to them, not make them sound like my heroes had done them, do them a little different. And it came in. Then we included some songs of mine that I had previously recorded, of course, you know, like Your Love Amazes Me and things like that.
Yeah, you even tackle the song, the classic song, Lady, and you put your own spin on it, and it suits your voice so well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Lionel Richie wrote that. Of course, Kenny Rogers made it famous, and it was great to be able to record a piece of music that is just, I mean, one of my favorites growing up. You know, I always loved to hear Kenny, and, you know, nobody seems like Kenny. Kenny's got just a great voice, and just love his voice. But it was nice to be able to cut that one and include it. And one of my favorites on that record was a song that was made famous by a Canadian artist, Gino Vannelli, who is I Just Want to Stop. Yeah, he's from Montreal, and it's funny. His brother, who produced his records, wrote that song, and we mailed out royalty checks. Of course, when we recorded the record and we manufactured, we sent out checks to all the songwriters and publishers, and like you're supposed to do. And I got a phone call from Gino's brother, and he just he called to thank me for sending the check. He left a voicemail for us. We called him back, of course. He just left a voicemail. He said, "I just wanted to thank you so much for." He said, "So many times people record our songs and they don't send us the royalties, you know." And he said, "It was just really nice, and we appreciate that." But that was just a great, great phone call to get. I was just tickled as I could be.
what a great story. And, I mean, that album, I Give My Heart, again, it's available at iTunes. And great, great songs in there for Valentine's Day if you want to have some background music or any time of the year. And there's a great song in there, a great song for proposing called Will You Marry Me? And that's a beautiful song and just right for one of those occasions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wrote that with my old piano player, John Hall, and David Lee Murphy. Some of you might remember Dust on the Bottle, and we put that song together and called Will You Marry Me, and it's been used at my concerts lots of times. I get requests for that song, or a gentleman might send an email or a letter or something, say, "Hey, we're going to come see you at such and such a show, and sure would like to, if you'd play that song, I'd like to propose to my girlfriend during the concert." So we get that a lot. Very cool.
So you've had John some proposals during your shows?
Oh, lots of them, yeah. And matter of fact, this year we I do a Christmas tour every year, and this past year, of course, was our 19th year doing the tour. And there's one theater in particular that we have done all 19 years in Macon, Georgia, the Grand Opera House in Macon. And there is several families, but one in particular, a family that has been coming to see us for 19 years. And their daughters were 4 and 6 when they started coming. And, of course, now they're in their 20s. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls got engaged. She didn't know she was getting engaged that night, but one of the girls got engaged to Will You Marry Me, and so that was pretty cool to having them been to come and see us for almost 20 years, and then to be a part of such a special moment in their lives. That was very cool.
John, let's turn to another one of your big hits, your very first one. We've talked about it. Your Love Amazes Me. People remember it to this day, of course, written by Amanda Hunt Taylor and Chuck Jones, as you said, has written a bunch of songs for you and great love songs. Before we play it again, maybe just your thoughts again on this song and the impact it's had on your career.
Well, the first time I heard it, it was on a demo reel of Chuck's. So there were 10 or 12 songs on there, and the first time I heard it, I said, well, yeah, I'll take that one. Thank you very much. And they said, well, the issue, Tanya Tucker actually has it on hold. She has it on hold for her next CD. And so if another artist has the song on hold, you have to either wait for them to finish their project, and if the song's not on there, you can get it. But if the other person has a hold and they put it out first, then they've got it, you know. So, but she was on Capitol Records, the same label I was on, and she turned her record in a few weeks later, and that song was not on it. So I feel fortunate that I got it and got to sing that song. It was because it's been a career record for me, and it's one of my most well-known songs. And a number of years ago, we had a special moment in Canada. I'm trying to think what city we were in, but I got a letter from these two moms, these two ladies, and one of them had a son and the other one had a daughter, and they were in their 30s, the kids were in their 30s, and they thought that they would never find each other. But they finally did, and they were getting married soon. And Your Love Amazes Me was their song. And they were coming to our show a few weeks after I got this letter. And she just asked if I could acknowledge them. And So at the show, I told everyone the story, and I found this couple, and all their families were there together. The girls, all her family, and the gentleman, all his family. And I told him, I said, you know, I know you guys are getting married in a few weeks, and obviously I'm not going to be able to be here, but if you guys would come up and if you would have a dance, we'd like to do Your Love Amazes Me for the two of you, and you guys have your wedding dance, even though it's not actually at your wedding. It was very cool to have a song like that that obviously meant so much to these two, and also to, you know, obviously the moms knew that it was their song, and so that was very cool.
That's a great story, John, and man, what a great song. Let's hear it now. It's John Barry and Your Love Amazes Me here on In the Country.
Give me something to believe in, forever faithful. got down on my knees out in the pouring rain. But only you could save me. Your love amazes me. Don't you ever doubt this love of mine. You're the only one for me. You give me hope, you give me reason, you give me something to believe in.
And that is country artist John Barry, one of his big hits, his very first one, in fact, called Your Love Amazes Me. You'll find that at iTunes along with all of his other songs. Be sure to head there and check those out. Head to YouTube as well. For the videos, John, did you have a great time shooting videos over the years?
I don't find a lot of joy in cutting videos. it's these little vignettes. You shoot these little scenes, you know? And they shoot them over and over and over, and it's so time-consuming. And the hair and the makeup people and all that stuff, it's just and I'm just kind of impatient, you know. And so I'm like, you want to shoot it again? You mean you didn't get it one of the other 30 times we shot? but it ends up being fun when you see it back, and you kind of forget about how much was involved in putting it together, you know, but it, sure. It can be kind of a stressful day.
You had a chance to record with Patti Loveless and Wynonna. What is it like for you singing a duet? Is that a great experience to have your voice paired with another female artist's voice?
Well, it is fun to get to do that. And, I had always, you know, always had wanted to do something with Wynonna. And, man, that was really something to get to sing with her. We did a song together called We Can't Unmake Love. And it was actually supposed to be included on a record of mine. And that record never came out. And, but she actually included it on her record called The Other Side. And so I'm glad that she included it, because otherwise folks would have never heard it.
It's a beautiful song, and that's, of course, available at iTunes. Yeah, your voices go really well together.
Yeah, there's a very sibling-sounding thing. You know, you ever hear brothers and sisters sing together? There's this texture in their voices that's very similar. And that's the same kind of thing in ours. Wow. It was quite remarkable. And
do you have a
having
dream?
Patti Loveless, you know, having Patti Loveless come in and sing on "I Know I Will If You Will," that was really cool. She's, man, what a great singer she is.
That's awesome. I'll let our listeners know, of course, your website is johnberry.com, and they can catch up on all kinds of stuff there, learn more about you as well. We're going to get to some brand new music in a few moments. We're going to talk about the upcoming album and different things around that. But your influences growing up, John, I know you got into music very young, and by the time you were 17, you were hooked on it. You knew that music was what you were going to do one way or another. Who are the artists that influenced you and got you excited about music?
Oh, gosh. Well, I started playing guitar in the early 70s. And singer-songwriters kind of ruled the proverbial roost, you know.
And Harry Chapin was such a an influence because he was such a storyteller, and I guess I learned my rambling from Harry.
And I'm sure James Taylor, he would be in that crowd as well of singer-songwriters.
Oh, sure. Yeah, James Taylor. I think I'd mentioned Cat Stevens, Jackson Browne, and, of course, bands like the Eagles that wrote their own music and that whole 70s kind of thing and that acoustic-oriented kind of stuff, even though the Eagles got a little more rock as they went on. When they started off, they were very acoustic-oriented.
Do you remember one of your earliest times on stages at all and just that feeling you felt, whether it was nervousness or maybe you got confidence?
I guess I just really got hooked on it in high school. I changed high schools. I started high school with the kids I went to elementary school with. And then over our Thanksgiving break, we moved to another part of the town and I had to change schools. So I wasn't a real involved kid, and so I ended up, I guess I just sort of being alienated myself, I guess. You know, I was just real introverted, but I ended up really spending a lot of time playing guitar and learning how to write songs and that sort of stuff. But then it ended up becoming a way for me to be involved at school because people liked my music, and so I think, and I sang at one of the high school assemblies and got a great response. And that was it was very encouraging. And so it kind of went from there.
If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure in them again. Would spend them with you, but there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with.
The new album, What I Love the Most, is the title of it. 10 great new songs on it. We're going to play a couple of them here on the show and get some stories behind them. But first of all, tell me about putting together this album. How long has this one been in the works for you?
I started writing for it about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and started looking for songs. And I got fortunate to write with Rich Fagan and Brian Mabry, and we wrote three of the songs together. And then I wrote a couple of others with a couple of other writers. And it was just a great time. I mean, I had a great time writing these five songs. I wrote a few more than that, but we ended up selecting five that I was co-writer on and then five that some other friends had written. And just found some wonderful pieces of music that I was not writer on, that I just felt really. Neil Thrasher wrote a couple of them, and Neil has written a lot of songs that folks hear on the radio. So, mm-hmm. and it was really cool to be able to write with him. I mean, to use some. I have not had a chance to write with him, but to use some of his songs, it was really cool.
Let's start with one of the songs from this album. We'll talk more about it, John, but the first one we'll play is called She's Mine, and what can you tell me about this song?
This is one of Neil's. Just got a great vibe about it, great feel about it, and just some really cool sounding guitars on this particular track.
And I understand that the couple songs we're playing from the album, we're kind of debuting a few of these. We know the album isn't out, but these are also songs people are going to be hearing for the first time.
Oh yeah, this album's not been released yet. We do have a few copies that are floating around out there. We had it on our Christmas tour with us this year as a merchandise piece, and we did a bunch of the songs in concert. But you know, in the grand scheme of things, there's not a lot of copies out there. So we're working on a record deal with a major label now for distribution on this project, and hopefully we'll have that all in place
and have the album out in just a couple months.
That is great. The album called What I Love the Most. Let's hear the song we've just been talking about. This is called She's Mine on In the Country.
Every man needs some inspiration, a solid rock, a reason for being alive, a shelter, a safe place to go, and she's mine. Every man has some kind of weakness, an addiction, that craving deep down inside, a habit you don't want to break, and she's mine. She's mine. Every thought, everything, all of my wildest dreams, I don't know what I did to be the one she's with. Every day, every night, for the rest of
And that's country artist John Barry. Be sure to head to johnbarry.com and, of course, iTunes to get to many of his great songs. That's a brand new one called She's Mine from a new album that will be coming out sometime this year. Got another song from that album coming up in just a few moments, kind of a debut, and it's a beautiful love song. Let's talk about Nashville, John. I know that it's played an important part not only in your career but in your life.
Well, yeah, we live here, and we haven't lived here long, just the past couple of years, and it's been great being here and being in Nashville. It's helped my writing. I wrote five songs for this new album, and I've written I don't know how many songs since we've moved here. I've written more songs in the past 18 months, 2 years that we've lived here, whatever it is, than I've written in the past 10 or 12 years. So it's
wow.
been a great move musically. But it's been a great move personally just for our family, and we've enjoyed it. We've bought a little house just outside of town and a little small town just north of town, and we really love it here. It's been a good move. Yeah, my
oh,
son
wow.
Kalen's a drummer, and he plays drums for us, but he's also starting to pick up some sessions and doing some other work around town, and he's got another artist that he's going to start playing with, and so it's going to be good for him.
That's awesome to hear that the music is being passed down. The Grand Ole Opry, tell me about that, John, and some of your appearances there and just sort of the feeling you get when you play the Opry.
Oh, the Grand Ole Opry is just, it's just really remarkable. I'm sure some of your listeners have been to the Opry before, but I'm sure a lot of them have not. And if you ever make it to town, you got to go. You just got to go. And there's just something about it. And I played the Ryman just a couple of weeks ago. They were having, you know, they had it at the Ryman Auditorium for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's at now for the wintertime.
Right.
And the Ryman's just a remarkable space. And we really had a great time there. And just the whole vibe of being there. And it's always a real treat when we've got a band member that they're playing the Ryman for, they're playing the Opry with us for the first time. So that's always a real treat for us to share that with them. But there's something really cool about standing in the circle, you know, and there's mm-hmm. a circle on the stage. Now, as a matter of fact, at the Grand Ole Opry House, there is literally a circle on the front center stage that is, it was taken out of the Ryman Auditorium. And when they built the new Opry House, they put that circle in from the wooden floor from the Ryman in the new Opry House. Of course, the Opry House was 25 years old, but the Ryman, mm-hmm. of course, was many years before that. And so you literally stand on the circle. You're standing on the stage of the old Ryman floor when you're at the Opry. But the very first time we played, Porter Wagner was who introduced me. And mm-hmm. We're standing on the side of the stage, and my wife is holding my arm, and she says, "Is this real?" And about that time, Porter Wagner says, "Y'all welcome, John Barry." And I turned to her, and I said, "Baby, it's real. Let's go."
Wow.
So, but it was just really fun. There's nothing quite like playing the Grand Ole Opry. There's lots of theaters and lots of places, but the history and the great history of the theater and of the Opry itself and the singers who have come before us and the love that they've had for the music and the Opry fans, the country music fans that come and to experience the Grand Ole Opry and the music of the Grand Ole Opry. There's just nothing quite like that.
At your shows, you mentioned your band, John. Do you do shows either separately or when you have the band? Do you do portions that are acoustic so we get to hear just the guitar and just your voice?
I'll usually do a song, an acoustic song during the night, depending on what the show is. There's a couple of different shows that we do. There's four different shows that we do. There's a show that I do that's just me and my guitar. I go on tour sometimes and do a 2-week run of just me and my guitar. And then there's what we call our advanced acoustic show, which is me and my wife, Robin, and usually our bass player, Michael, who also plays acoustic, or our piano player, Neil. And and so there's that. It's a little more advanced, you know. And then there's the regular band show. And then there's our Christmas tour. And we've been doing the Christmas tour for 19 years. This coming up season will be our 20th year doing the tour.
And you do a version of Oh Holy Night that people are in love with. It's just such a beautiful and powerful version of that song.
Oh, thank you. That song, I have loved singing that song so much. I get asked to sing it almost every night I'm out doing tour dates. Even during summertime, somebody will holler it out, you know.
Yeah.
But that song, you know, the recorded version of that, the studio version of that song, mm-hmm. Oh Holy Night, I recorded on May 10th of 1994. The significance of that is that 30 days before that, I'm sorry, I recorded on June 10th. On May 10th of 30 days prior,
is when I had brain surgery.
Wow.
So to be in the studio recording such a beautiful piece of music, it was really an emotional day. And because there were times that prior to the surgery, I was convinced that my singing days were over. I was going to have this brain surgery, and they were going to find more than we bargained for. And, you know, I just was convinced that it was not going to be a good thing. A little dark side of me, I guess, you know.
Yeah,
but
well, sure.
You'd be back in the studio 30 days later recording this beautiful piece of music. It was really an emotional day for me as well as everybody else there, because everybody understood the circumstances. And Connie Ellisor, the violinist, her violin kept going out of tune when she was putting her violin parts down. And we couldn't figure out what it was. And Chuck Howard, the producer, across the headphones, he said, "Connie, what's going on with your violin?" And she said, "Well, Chuck, I'm in here listening to John sing this beautiful piece of music, knowing that a month ago we were praying that this brain surgery would go well." And she said, "I'm just in tears." And she says, "They're rolling down my face and they're falling on my violin, and it's making the violin go out of tune."
Oh, my God.
That's an emotional day.
Oh.
You know? And
that's an understatement. Wow.
Yeah, so we captured something that day. We captured this. You know, I've always believed that if you're recording it, if you're recording a fun song like "Friends in Low Places," how much fun do you think Garth is having in the studio the day they cut that song? You know, and that these years later, you can play it, you can still feel it.
Yeah,
and that's sort of the art of recording, is whatever kind of emotion you're trying to convey. How much of that emotion is in the room and can be captured and played on a disc 20 years later, and you can still feel it. So that's the magic of that particular recording.
That's amazing. Oh, Holy Night. Our listeners have got to check that out. As you said, any time of the year, especially at Christmas, but any time to hear that beautiful version. Let's turn to another new song, a debut from your upcoming album, What I Love the Most, and this is a song called "There Could Never Be Another Love." And John, I suspect this is going to be another one of those songs that's like "Your Love Amazes Me," and that couples are going to take this into their lives, and it's going to have meaning for them.
Well, I hope so. This is the entire title of that song is "There Could Never Be Another Love for Me But You," and it even the song title even sounds like kind of a throwback, you know. And when we recorded it, my goal was to make it sound and feel like something that was on that old Willie Nelson Stardust record, that a collection of those classic songs. And there's something that just the band really hit the mark, and it was a beautiful recording. And the violinist who came in and played violin, he did such a remarkable job and built these tracks, you know, and made it sound so good and pretty remarkable.
Let's hear that song now. Another brand new song from my guest, John Barry. "There Could Never Be Another Love for Me But You," here on In the Country.
From the first time that we kissed, we both knew that was it. And we fell in love like kids right from the start. When we stood and said I do, deep inside I knew you would be forever in my heart. And I thank the Lord above for your precious love. Heaven only knows a love this true. And there could never be another love for me but you.
Sometimes I watch you sleep. When you're lost in peaceful dreams, I'm amazed at just how beautiful you are. And I need you more each day, so much more than words can say. And I miss you every moment we're apart.
And that is country artist John Barry, brand new music. There Could Never Be Another Love for Me But You is the full title. That's from an upcoming album called What I Love the Most. You can catch John's past tunes at iTunes, of course, and johnbarry.com. Man, it's so great to know that you've got new music out there. Are you excited, John? As you said, you haven't stopped performing, but to have an actual recorded album out there for people to hear.
Yeah, to have a new album. The last album I did was 4 years ago, I think. It was a gospel, kind of a Christian gospel / bluegrassy kind of sounding record called Real Man, Real Life, Real God. That was then 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago.
Wow.
And so to have a brand new project that's coming out, I'm real excited.
It's awesome. There are 10 great songs in there. I know that our listeners are going to love that album when it is out there. And, you know, you mentioned before about your shows up in Canada and hoping that you'll be back up here. I would love that. That'd be great if somebody out there listening or you know, someone somehow brings you up here to Canada for some more shows.
All we need is a brave promoter, and off we go.
John, this has been such a pleasure. As I mentioned, I'm a huge fan, bought your albums as they were coming out, listened to these songs on the radio, and I just love your voice. It's been great chatting.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
My guest has been country artist John Barry. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.